Good morning. Welcome to worship here at St. Mark's. I'm so glad that you could join us on this day. Today we're going to be reflecting upon the account from John where Jesus heals a man that was born blind and reflections on that. But we'll hear about that a little bit later. At this time, I'd like to invite you to stand as we begin our service. As always, you're remembering who we belong to, having been claimed in the waters of holy baptism, and begin in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for the beautiful morning that you have given us this day that we get to be in your presence, to receive from you forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation, and to be able to return praise and glory to you for all that you have done for us. Lord, I pray that you would be present here among us this morning. Help us, Lord, to know you, to understand, and to learn to love you and trust you more every single day so that we can live in your peace. In your name we pray. Amen. Let's confess our sin. O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess to you all my sins and iniquities with which I have ever offended you and justly deserve your temporal eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them and sincerely repent of them. And I pray you of your boundless mercy and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter suffering and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor sinful being. Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all of your sin in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Is great. Give him all the praise. Hallelujah, name above all names. Fire in his eyes, healing in his veins. Everywhere his glory on display. Take a look at those stars, he can name them all. Before his throne, every knee falls. The demons have to run, the angels have to praise. Even the wind and the waves obey. Our God is an awesome God, he reigns. From heaven above with wisdom, power, and love, our God is an awesome God. Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love, our God is an awesome God. And even when I went, he didn't run away. He came and put death back in its place. Friday on a cross, broken for my shame. Sunday morning rose up from that grave. Take a look at those scars on his hands and feet. He saved our souls for eternity. Worthy is the Lamb, glory to the King. Oh, let all the saints and the angels sing. Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God. Day. He will come and wipe our tears away. No more fear, no more pain, no more sorrow, sin, or shame. The King is coming back again. A reign of love that will never end. For everything you've done, and everything you do, and everything you are, I'll sing to you. My God, you're an awesome God, you're great. In all you do, I'm made to worship you, my God. You're an awesome God. An awesome God, he reigns from heaven above.
It's warm out this morning, but watch out for tonight and tomorrow morning. It's going to hit us. The first scripture reading of the day is from Isaiah chapter 42, verses 14 to 21. For a long time, I have kept silent. I have been quiet and held myself back. But now, like a woman in childbirth, I cry out, I gasp and pant. I will lay waste the mountains and hills and dry up all their vegetation. I will turn rivers into islands and dry up the pools. I will lead the blind by ways they have not known. Along unfamiliar paths, I will guide them. I will turn the darkness into light before them and make the rough places smooth. These are the things I will do. I will not forsake them. But those who trust in idols, who say to images, you are our gods, will be turned back in utter shame. Hear, you deaf, look, you blind, and see. Who is blind but my servant, and deaf like the messenger I sent? Who is blind like the one in covenant with me, blind like the servant of the Lord? You have seen many things, but you pay no attention. Your ears are open, but you do not listen. It pleased the Lord for the sake of his righteousness to make his law great and glorious. This is the word of the Lord.
Scripture reading for our sermon this morning is John chapter 9, verses 1 through 7, 13 through 17, and then 34 to 39. As he, Jesus, went along, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Neither this man nor his parents sinned, said Jesus. But this happened so that the works of God may be displayed in him. As long as it is day, we must do the works of him who sent me. I must do the works of him who sent me. Night is coming when no one can work. While I'm in the world, I am the light of the world. After saying this, he spit on the ground, made some mud with the saliva, and put it on the man's eyes. Go, he said, wash in the pool of Siloam, which this means sent. So the man went and washed and came home seeing. They brought to the Pharisees the man who had been blind. Now the day on which Jesus had made the mud and opened the man's eyes was the Sabbath. Therefore, the Pharisees also asked him how he had received his sight. He put mud on my eyes, the man replied, and I washed and now I see. Some of the Pharisees said, This man is not from God, for he does not keep the Sabbath. But others asked, how can a sinner perform such signs? So they were divided. Then they turned again to the blind man. What do you have to say about him? It was your eyes that he opened. The man replied, he is a prophet. To this they replied, you are steeped in sin at birth. How dare you lecture us? And they threw him out. Jesus heard that they had thrown him out, and when he found him, he said, do you believe in the Son of Man? Who is he, sir? The man asked. Tell me so that I may believe in him. Jesus said, you have now seen him. In fact, he is the one speaking with you. The man said, Lord, I believe. And he worshiped him. Jesus said, for judgment I have come into this world, so that the blind will see, and those who see will become blind. This is God's word for us today. Children, it is time for you all to come forward. It is time for the children's message, and Mr. Johnson has the message this morning.
Good morning. Boy, we have lots of kids. It's always great to see that. How are you guys doing today? Doing good? I like that. Thumbs up. All right. All right. Well, I don't know if you were listening to what Pastor Bob just read. And I have a question for you that's maybe a tough question. Do you have the power to heal yourself? If you're sick, maybe... I did not plan him to do that. But in the reading that Pastor Bob just read, there was a gentleman who had been born blind, couldn't see his entire life, and people said, what sin did he do to cause his blindness? Is there anything that you can do to cause yourself to become blind or sick? Are you that powerful? Yes. Can you or no? No. But what miracle happened? Were you paying attention? Yes. God healed him. Not because he was special, or not because he said some special kind of prayer. God loved him and had pity on him and said, I will heal him. So sometimes in this world, bad things happen. Whether tonight we might have some strong storms, or you may know someone who might get sick. And sometimes people will say, well, they must have done something to cause that. But we know that's not true. We live in a world that's because of sin, things happen. But we know that if we pray to God and put our trust in him, he can help us through anything that happens, okay? So regardless if you're sick, or maybe you have a test that's coming up in school and you're worried about that, you can pray to God and ask him to be with you, and he will provide you everything that you need. Okay? Let's pray. Dear Jesus, thank you that you are always with us. Help us to always trust in you. And help us to share the love that you have for us with others. Amen.
Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. In the 90s, there was this fad, may I call it? Basically, this impacted a lot of posters, and there were books about it, and I loved it. Something called Magic Eye. I'm not sure if you're familiar with this. It looked really chaotic like this. I'm just curious if I can do it from this distance. I does not want to do it. I wasn't sure. I didn't test this ahead of time. But allegedly, if that was much smaller, much closer to you, you would see a dinosaur, perhaps with like a soccer ball or an egg or something like that. But it was just something, as I was thinking about this concept of seeing and what you see and looking, perceiving at things, this was my first thought. I remember as a kid, I was the youngest of my family, and I was so frustrated. Everyone else could do this, and I just could not get the practice down. And then finally, there was just one time where it's all about, you know, making your eyes be unfocused on what normally you'd be focused on. And your eyes just kind of all of a sudden, you see an image. Lest I have you keep staring at something that doesn't work. I have another one, which would be way cooler if it worked, because this is actually Jesus hanging on a cross, which is awesome. But this is what I thought about as we think about seeing, and really at the heart of it in this story today is, what do you perceive? And you have a wonderful story. This is what I want to get at. What do you see? You see a lion and a lamb, and yet what you perceive perhaps in the context of a church and a sermon is perhaps more than just what you see at the heart of it. In other words, I see that and I think of one of two things, either Jesus, who is the lion and the lamb, both the lion of Judah and the lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, or I think about the passage where it talks about how the day will come where the lion will lay down with the lamb, and it's this whole beautiful image of a new creation, where things that seem otherwise at war are now at peace. Things that seem like these two could not by any means, you know, the child will play in the cobra's nest. Like, this would never happen. And yet, this is the depiction of the age that is to come. And so, today we're all thinking about, at least I want us to be thinking about, what you see with your eyes and how that impacts what you perceive in your mind. So we have this story where Jesus is walking with his disciples. And even though earlier you heard the shortened version, for the full impact, I'm going to read the entirety of John chapter 9. Because I think intentionally, this is really drawn out. Because it's amazing, this is both obviously the man who was born blind, the best day of his life, and at the same time, perhaps one of the most challenging. And you really get that in the long drawn out version of the story. But it says, as Jesus passed by, he saw a blind man, a man who was blind from birth. And Jesus' disciples asked him, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? And you get this later on where the Pharisees will say to this man, you were steeped in sin from your birth. In other words, this seems to be a very common perception of the day. You look at someone who has this kind of infirmity from birth, and the assumption is that, oh, the only way this would have played out this way is due to a deep and strong sin. Now, it's uncertain, you know, could this man have sinned in the womb? Is it perhaps his parents' fault? Perhaps there was some debate and discussion about this. And so the disciples maybe have heard this, and they're saying, you know, teacher, you know a lot of things. Can you weigh in on this that we've heard? Who sinned? We're sure of that part. It's due to sin. Whose fault is it that this man was born blind? And Jesus answered, it was not that this man sinned or his parents, but that the works of God might be displayed in him. And I just love that perspective, as Jesus sees someone who has struggled throughout his entire life, and yet what Jesus sees is someone who the works of God can be displayed in. But it continues. Jesus says, we must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Having said these things, he spit on the ground and made mud with the saliva. Then he anointed the man's eyes with the mud, and he said to him, go and wash in the pool of Siloam, which means sent. So he went and washed and came back seeing. Now I had to look this up. It's not actually in the Old Testament as far as a why what Jesus did is considered work on a Sabbath. That'll come up later. But it's kind of the oral tradition that got passed down as they're trying to really, perhaps from a positive place, think through, okay, God said, do not work on the Sabbath. Do no work. And so there's obviously been debate over the years of, well, what constitutes work? How are, you know, we want to know where the line is so we don't violate that. And the idea of taking two substances, saliva and dirt, and making an entirely new substance, clay, that was considered work. You can't do that on the Sabbath. And so that's what happened. So the neighbors and those who had seen this man who was born blind before as a beggar were saying, is this not the man who used to sit and beg? And some said, it is he. And others said, no, but he is like him. And he kept saying, I'm the man. Again, I can only imagine what this man went through. Entire life being blind. He gets healed and he wants to tell everybody about it. And they're like, whoa, you look a lot like that guy who used to beg there. No, I'm him. No, that can't happen. To have suddenly go from the amazing place of being able to see as you never have before, literally, to then so many people not believing your word, where previously they might have. It's astounding. So they said to him, then how were your eyes open? And he answered, the man called Jesus made mud and anointed my eyes and said to me, go to Siloam and wash. So I went and washed and received my sight. And they said to him, well, where is this man? And the man said, I don't know. So after much discussion, they decided the best course of action is to bring him to the Pharisees. Admittedly, I don't entirely know. But they brought him to the Pharisees, the man who was formerly blind. But it was the Sabbath day when Jesus made mud and opened his eyes. And so the Pharisees again asked him how he had received his sight. And he said to them, he put mud on my eyes and I washed and I see. It's getting shorter and simpler. Like, oh my gosh, seriously, are you listening? Some of the Pharisees said, this man is not from God, for he does not keep the Sabbath. And yet others said, how can a man who is a sinner do such signs? And there was division among them. And so they said again to the blind man, what do you say about him since he has opened your eyes? And the man said, clearly he's a prophet. And the Jews did not believe that he had been blind and had received his sight until they called the parents of the man who had received his sight. As I was rereading this week, I was realizing how rough of a time his parents probably had. Again, consider the disciples' first question. Who sinned, this man who is blind or his parents that he's blind? I imagine his parents, who are caring for a blind individual his entire life, have probably also been ostracized and kind of looked at with questionable, like, what did you guys do that this is the result? So they probably had a rough time already. But they called the parents of the man, and he asked them, is this your son who you say was born blind? How then does he now see? And his parents answered, we know that this is our son and that he was born blind. But how he now sees, we do not know. Nor do we know who opened his eyes. Ask him, he is of age. He will speak for himself. His parents said these things because they feared the Jews. For the Jews had already agreed that if anyone should confess Jesus to be the Christ, it would be put out of the synagogue. I have a little empathy for them. Again, going back to what they maybe have experienced already in life. They've probably been already excluded from much of community. To be kicked out of synagogue means to no longer be associated with and a part of the community of faith. And that's hard. Therefore, his parents said, he's of age, ask him. So for a second time, they called the man who had been blind and said to him, give glory to God, we know that this man is a sinner. And the man answered, whether he's a sinner, I don't know. The one thing I do know is that I was blind, but now I see. And they said to him, what did he do to you? How did he open your eyes? And he answered them, I have told you already, and you would not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you also want to become his disciples? And they reviled him, saying, you are his disciple, but we are disciples of Moses. We know that God has spoken to Moses, but as for this man, we do not know where he comes from. The man answers, why is this an amazing thing? You do not know where he comes from, and yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners. Never since the world began has it been heard that anyone opened the eyes of a man born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing. And they answered him, you were born in utter sin, and you would teach us? And they cast him out. You have in this long story a beautiful juxtaposition of what it really means to be blind. For you have someone who is physically blind, and yet he sees the most amazing and important thing that a person can see. The truth of who Jesus is. And you have people who are physically able to see, and yet in their sinfulness, they are spiritually blind, for they cannot see the most important thing. In other words, as I said before, this whole story is all about recognizing the difference between seeing something and perceiving something. Because just you see something with your eyes does not mean that you perceive what you ought to perceive in your mind. So Jesus heard that they had cast him out, and having found him, he said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" He answered, "Who is he, sir, that I may believe in him?" And Jesus said to him, "You have seen him, and it is he who is speaking to you." He said, "Lord, I believe." And he worshiped Jesus. And Jesus said, "For judgment I came into this world, that those who do not see may see, and those who see may become blind." And some of the Pharisees who were near him heard these things and said to him, "Are we also blind?" And Jesus said to them, "If you were blind, you would have no guilt. But now that you say we see, your guilt remains." Again, two things I like to ask as I read any passage of the Bible. The first is, what does this tell me about God? We heard in our Old Testament how it is that God would be at work giving sight to the blind, opening the ears of the deaf. And really, all of this is a little foretaste, a little teaser of what is to come in the age to come, when God will set all things right, where the blind will see and the deaf will hear and the lame will walk. And many of the healings of Jesus is really just to announce, look and see what is to come fully, for now you will have a temporary relief, but the age will come where it will be forever. And this is who God is. Another question I like to ask of any text, though, is, what does this tell me about people? And it's astounding, the indictment against so many people who, though they see with their eyes the truth that this man who had been blind from birth, had been blind for so many years, now can see. What more signs or evidence could you ask for who this Jesus is? And yet what they perceive in their mind, what they believe in their hearts, is so far from the truth. Because they cling to a perception that is unhealthy, unhelpful, and false. So I have some case studies for you today. Who sinned? This man or society? That he's in the state that he's in. It's a bit easier perhaps for us to be able to point to something like that than the perception that the disciples and others had in that day, to say, well, clearly, born from blind, that's about sin. Easier for us to point and say, ah, yes, sin. But the point I have for you today is that we miss the whole point if we perceive someone who is struggling and our first thought is to see them through the lens of sin. Whether we make it as an opportunity to criticize that individual or to criticize society as a whole or whatever it might be. In other words, in our sin, our natural inclination often is to look at someone else and completely dehumanize them, devalue them, suggest that they are beneath us. And what God says is the way is, look and see those whom I have made in my image. Look and see those around you. Do not devalue them. Do not debase them. But rather, look at them as one whom I love. Let's try again. What do you see? In my experience, I have not ever heard an individual affirm for me that to see a picture with all four of those gentlemen there, they would say, I really like all four of those gentlemen. And in fact, all too often in our sinful nature, our tendency is to look at somebody and be so frustrated and angry with what they have done that we consider them an enemy. Now, don't hear me wrong. I'm not saying that as Christians we should not be critical of our leaders or we should blindly follow whatever leader we have. But I'm encouraging all of us to consider, how can we both be intelligent and critical in a way that is for the benefit of all society, and at the same time not paint as evil an individual who we don't like what they have done? And there's a tension there. And yet this is the tension I believe God has called us to walk and to follow. Because the reality is that both an individual who finds himself as homeless, or a leader of a country, Christ died for all of them because they have been made in the image of God. The third case study I have for you today to consider as well is those you might come across that you know to be not Christian. And how easy it can be for us to write them off and say, you know, I think it's just better if I just make no mind of them. I go around them. I have no interactions with them whatsoever. And it's easy for us in our pride to say, look at those sinners. They'll never know the way of God. But as long as I keep keeping on the way of God, everything's going to be fine. Yet even for them, Christ died for them. So in all these ways, my encouragement to all of us is to not be as the Pharisees, the Jews, even the people who knew the man born blind, who see what God is doing and instead close our hearts and our minds and be blinded. But rather, again, hear the words that Jesus said. That the works of God might be displayed in him. In other words, as you look out at people, is that how you see them? Do you see the people around you who so desperately really need a relationship with God, but do not have it? And do you see this individual as one who the works of God might be displayed in? Or as you go around the city and you find yourself seeing someone who is in a state of not having a home, do you look at them and see, this is one who God can do works in and among? Do you look at the leadership of your country, of your city, of your state, of whatever, and think, you know, even this person is one who the works of God could be displayed in? Do you see things through that lens? Or do you see things entirely through a lens of despair, distrust, hopelessness? Jesus, who you follow, has done and can do amazing things. He calls us as his disciples to see things differently. To not see the world around us as a reflection of the sin, but rather to see what God has done, can do, and will do. You who were blind, by the work of God in you, can see. So pray and ask God, help me to see this world as you see it. A world filled with your possibilities, because you are stronger, more powerful than the sin. Help me to follow where you lead me and show me what I might see, that I might do what you want me to do by you being at work in and through me in this world that so desperately needs you. Amen.
Sound, if God's on heart, oh, let the ancient words.
ancient words ever true, changing me.
My friends, we have heard from God's word. Our God has revealed himself through us through the words of Scripture. Let us now confess to him what he has taught us about himself. Please stand as we confess our faith using the explanation to the second article of the Apostles' Creed. I believe that Jesus Christ, true God, begotten of the Father from eternity, and also true man, born of the Virgin Mary, is my Lord, who has redeemed me, a lost and condemned person, purchased and won me from all sin, from death, and from the power of the devil, not with gold or silver, but with his holy precious blood, and with his innocent suffering and death, that I may be his own, and live under him in his kingdom, and serve him in everlasting righteousness, innocence, and blessedness, just as he is risen from the dead, lives and reigns to all eternity. This is most certainly true. My friends, it is time to go into our time of prayer this morning. As we do, we want to remember a few people. First of all, Brielle and Dawson, who were baptized yesterday, some young cousins. And we thank God that Kathy Zeebel is among us again. Yay! He healed. And also, we want to be praying for the Schwing and Haas family at the death of Stan Schwing. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, so much for bringing us into a relationship with you, Lord. And when we come into this relationship with you, when we receive the faith that you have given us, Lord, our lives are changed, and we desire to conform ourselves to you. Lord, help us to see the world the way you see it. Help us to see the people around us the way you see them. Help us, Lord, to see them with the same compassion, love, and forgiveness, generosity, and kindness, so that we, Lord, can treat them with the love that you treated them and that you want us to do so as well. Lord, I pray that you would continue to be with all of us who are struggling with illnesses and sicknesses, Lord. And we thank you so much that you brought Kathy Zeebel to be among us again today, Lord. Thank you for healing her. I pray that you would continue to do so, Lord. Help her to build strength so that she can just continue to get back to the life that she that you've given her to live. Lord, I pray that you would be with the Haases and Alice, Lord, as they're going through the grieving, Lord, over the death of Stan. I pray that you would be with them. Give them strength. Let them be your rock in this difficult time. Thank you, Lord, for all the different people, Lord, that you have put in authority over us, Lord. And today I pray especially, Lord, for the Eureka government. I pray for all those who are in making laws, enforcing laws, providing various services. I pray that you would be with them and their families. Bless them and keep them, Lord. Help them, Lord, to know you and to be able to have the peace that only you can give. All these things we bring before you today, and we pray the prayer you gave us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, drink of it, all of you. This cup is a new covenant in my blood, shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink of it in remembrance of me."
Blessed Trinity.
My brothers and sisters, you can still taste the forgiveness of sins. Our God is real. He's among us, and he is in this sacrament. He is in this body, this bread and wine with his body and blood. And in this gift, he gives us forgiveness of sins. And so because our God is real, because our God is powerful, because his word is true, because he has promised these things, depart in his peace, in his joy. Amen. And receive our Lord's blessing. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of his Holy Spirit be with you always. Amen. Let us stand as we sing the final song together.
Oh, what you've done for me.
Please be seated. First of all, Sunday school kids, if you guys want to run for the back right now, that would be amazing. You could, Miss Lauren will take you off to the place where you will be taught. The rest of you, if you didn't notice on the way in, there's books out there. All right? And the book sale is, this is a really great thing because that book sale is like, Lauren is, she found somebody who sells good books. You know, they don't have a whole bunch of objectionable things in them. They're not pushing strange agendas. They're really good, legitimate books. It's amazing. Take advantage of it. Buy stuff for your grandkids or your kids or whoever. If you would be so kind, there are wish lists for the teachers. If you go all the way to this side of the lobby there, there's little piles of books underneath teachers' names. Grab a few, buy those for the teachers so that they can have them in their classrooms. But this is a really amazing opportunity, and it is a really good fundraiser for the school as well. So, you know, help us out. All right, with that, we also have the Easter flowers. We're still continuing to sell those and take orders. So if you guys would, they're in the back there near the Connection Center, as close as we could get with the book sale there. And then, and don't forget about the Lenten services that are going to be coming up on Wednesday evening as well, and morning for those of you who wish to come early and not drive in the dark. Other than that, I do have one other person. Where are you? There you are. My favorite person. She wants to talk about the Bible study she's about starting.
Hey, so our ladies' Bible study that we have twice a month, the second and fourth Tuesday, Monday, second and fourth Monday evenings at 7 o'clock in the asylum. So we just wrapped up our last study that I was leading, and now starting the fourth Monday in March, we're going to have two new leaders. It will be Peggy Rabe. Peggy, I know you're here somewhere. There's Peggy and her daughter, Alyssa Kruger. Alyssa is one of our worship team leaders. She's not up here right now. She's the very short, curly-haired lady who plays guitar, right? So I thought it would be great to have a younger lady lead instead of old ladies like me and Denise. No offense, Denise, but I thought it'd be nice to have a younger lady lead and then Peggy, her mom. So I'm not sure what you guys are. Did you pick a topic yet or not yet? Still praying about it. Okay, so we don't know what the topic will be, but we're going to have co-leaders, so that'll be great. So please, if you have not joined us, please think about joining, especially now that it's daylight savings time. It's a little bit lighter, longer. So we would love to have ladies of any age join us on Monday nights, the second and fourth Mondays, 7 to about 8:30 p.m. We let you go for sure by 8:30. Usually there's a little time to talk. If you want to come a little earlier and chat before, that's fine. We usually are there about 6:45 to open the doors. It's in the asylum, the room in between the church building and the school building. So please, ladies, any age, if you have questions, you're welcome to get in touch with me. I think my number's in there. Angie Hummel also does kind of the administrative stuff. She tends to send out emails, reminder emails. So we love to have this as a fellowship time as well as Bible study. So any questions, feel free to get in touch. Thank you.
And there you have it directly from her. She is now my old lady. Anyway, I'm in trouble now. No, folks, listen, I do encourage you folks, be involved in Bible study whenever you can, whenever. I mean, Sunday morning, Monday nights, Tuesday nights for the men. At Saturdays, there's men's Bible studies. Take advantage of them. We all need to be in God's word. If we don't feed ourselves, we get hungry and weak. It's just how life works, all right? So God's blessings on all of you this day. It's been a real pleasure being before God and worshiping with y'all. God's blessings.